And this sister tells me, but brother, in secret, underhand, you know why we are here. And they are very bold, two or three young people leading that work, and they have an institute where they teach these things. But they said our ultimate priority and prayer is to build a Daniel generation among the children. What a vision, Daniel generation among the children. So the Lord is doing great thing. Our dear brother who is serving the Lord there is from Egypt actually. Very gifted brother, very able leader. His wife is a Jordanian. They are the ones who invited us. They also carry out the MA's work and camps and conferences. And there are a couple of other able men in the assembly from diverse backgrounds who are strong in the Lord and who are committed to assembly principles, helping our brother and his ministry. So the Lord is doing great and wonderful things. What a joyous privilege and exciting opportunity to go there and to be involved in this kind of unusual and odd ministries. As the Lord told John the Baptist, you just do it. I will explain it later. Okay, so the Lord tells us to do many things and we need to do that in faith. So with that introduction, I want to get into the topic of prayer and evangelism, or prayer and missions, or missional prayer. The reason is, in my experience, we as a church here, we are very mission-minded, we are very missional. We praise God for that. And we pray for missions too. And probably that is the case of many, many assemblies around the world. And when we pray for various needs of those who are serving the Lord. And there are no legalistic rules what we should pray for and what we should not pray. But to my surprise, I have found that the Word of God gives very clear guidelines in relation to praying for the Lord's work. And that is probably a missing link in our theology of prayer, I should say. So we need to rediscover that. We have the freedom to pray for anything as the Lord leads, as the Lord burdens us. Please continue to do that. But the Word of God has given us some pattern and principles and guidelines on what to pray for. And that should be our priority in our prayer for the Lord's work, because that is commanded in the Word of God. That is not written by some missionaries or evangelists or Bible teachers, or that is not something, promoted by someone. These are principles. I want to show you very quickly 6 principles from the Word of God. Directly related to missional prayer or praying for the Lord's work, Lord's servants. And that is what we want to look this morning. So the first principle is Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. Matthew's Gospel chapter 9, what Jesus himself commanded us to pray for. So how does prayer fit into mission? Why we should pray? What do we pray for? What are the scriptural guidelines? Matthew's Gospel chapter 9, beginning in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered. Now, the weary and scattered, I'm reading from NKJV, distressed and downcast is a good translation, as it is in the New American Standard, or harassed and helpless, as in NIV, that also is a good translation. So, in relation to the original word, so these people are distressed and weary and harassed and confused. Like sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful. So the Lord saw them as sheep without a shepherd, confused, burdened, and harassed. and going on the broad way to destruction. But the Lord also saw them ready for spiritual harvest. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray. Therefore, pray. What shall we pray for? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. It's very interesting that the Lord did not tell his disciples, you go and harvest. And it is also very important for us to know the Lord did not say, pray for the lost people, as we would normally say. There is nothing wrong in that. We should pray for the lost. But I am very surprised by this command of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are in a missional situation, when there are people ready for harvest and mission field, your first thinking should not be to go or to help or to pray for the lost. It should be there. But the primary thing, according to the Lord, is that we should pray that the Lord may raise up people and send them, the laborers whom he raises up. In the mission fields today, so much resources and money are spent and wasted because there are many people going there and doing lot of things whom the Lord has not called or sent. They are not the Lord's laborers. They are somebody else's laborers, or they are there for their own selfish labor and agenda. I'm not talking about parachurch organizations only, not only about denominations. It can happen to us also. The first thing in mission, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, is if you are interested in mission, if you are burdened about mission, if you are a missional assembly, your prayer should be that the Lord may raise up his laborers and send them. And now let me ask you, when was the last time did we pray for that? When was the last time? Did you personally pray for it? In our assembly, we prayed for it. And as a family, you prayed for it. We pray for many things for which the Lord has not asked us to pray. And we forget to pray for the things for which the Lord has definitely asked us to pray. And the Lord is saying that should be your prayer. You can send, you can give, you can go. These are all noble spiritual exercises. But the Lord said, pray that the Lord may raise up laborers, his own laborers, and send them into the field. Then the harvest will happen, the mission will happen, and God's name may be glorified, and sinners will be saved, and the church will be edified. The Lord pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, we see this practiced in the early church by the church of Antioch. They gathered together for prayer with fasting and worship. They were in the presence of the Lord and they heard the call of God to separate Saul and Barnabas. The Lord sent them. The Holy Spirit sent them. And when the Holy Spirit was ready to send them, the assembly also sent them. That is the Antioch model of mission. That is the New Testament model of mission. That is the New Testament pattern of mission. So may the Lord help us and put this burden in our heart. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And sometimes God answers this prayer by using the person who is praying. That if you pray with great burden, Lord, send out to the field laborers, raise up laborers and send them out, the Lord may call you for that. When we pray earnestly for many things, the Lord will show that you are the person to do that also. That is very possible. That has happened in the lives of many, many people. And we see that Isaiah, you know, saying, Lord, send me, here am I, send me. And we should be building for that. I remember growing up in Kerala, India, attending along with my father some of the great assembly conferences. And I know such things have happened here. And by reading, I know it has happened in UK, Australia, and in other parts of the world also, that in the big conference, there will be a missionary meeting. I very well remember, you know. And there will be a time for missionaries to share their testimonies and the challenges and special prayer requests. And there is a missionary message given as a challenge about the Lord's work. And then there is a prayer time devoted to pray exactly for this matter. You know, so now I am thinking, how enlightened were those people? That their prayer was exclusively for this. That is, Lord, raise up people. You know, brothers who are from India, the many people who have gone to North India from the state of Kerala went because of such prayer meetings. And that may be true of Andhra, that may be true of the United States and Canada. I know about Ireland and England and Australia, you know. And in those places where I have traveled, I have asked people about these days. In some places, there are such missionary meetings and prayers still going on. So that the Lord may raise up people. The Lord may raise up people and the Lord may send them. Not we. When the Lord sends, we stand with them. Now, the second principle of prayer is seen in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Meanwhile, praying also for us, Paul is writing, that God would open to us a door for the word, a door of opportunity. You know, that the when the Lord calls and sends us, pray for us, that the Lord would open to us a door for the word, or the door for the Logos, word, that is the proclamation of the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, that is the content of the gospel, for which I am also in chains. Then look at verse 4, that I may make it clear, phanero, manifest, clear, as I ought to speak. The gospel mystery, which was hidden in the Old Testament, is now manifested in the New Testament through the person and work of Christ. So that mystery is the content of the gospel. So that the Lord may give us a door of opportunity. Now, door in the New Testament symbolizes, you know, opportunity. It represents opportunity. For example, in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9, for a great and effective door has been opened to me. 2 Corinthians 2:12, Paul writes, when we came to Troas, a door was opened to me by the Lord. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, after the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch and the assembly was announced, and they told the assembly all the things which the Lord had done and how the door was opened for the Gentiles also. Door in the New Testament, door of opportunity to serve the Lord, to minister His word and to proclaim His gospel. Now, we don't have to push open any door. That is something very important. The door, the Lord will open the door for us. And when the Lord opens in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, in Christ's message to the church at Philadelphia, you know, the one who has the key of David, and no one can shut when he opens, and no one can open when he shuts. Wait for his time. Wait for the opportunity which the Lord gives us. And that is where and when we need to put our heart, mind and soul. Another important thing which I noticed here is the Lord should say what Paul is saying. When the Lord calls the laborers and send them to the harvest field, pray that they may get the opportunity also. Look at Paul's transparency and honesty and humility and at the total dependence upon the Lord, even though he was the most prominent of the apostles. So when the Lord calls, if the Lord calls and sends me and or you, if we don't have any opportunity, then we won't be able to effectively serve the Lord. So when the Lord sends his laborers, pray that the Lord himself in his sovereign will would open the doors of opportunity. And when the Lord opens the doors of opportunity, what shall we do? Verse 4, that I may make it the gospel manifest. That means you should do a good job with the proclamation of the gospel. You know, so manifest, make it clear. A clear presentation of the gospel or the word of God. Clear exposition of the word correctly, wisely, graciously, boldly, truthfully and faithfully. You know, there are some people who spiritualize these things. You know, you get up and God will give you something. No. The word of God teaches that. Pray that those who preach the word, proclaim the word, share the word, whether brothers or sisters, Sunday school teachers. You know, I'm making an application in a broader way that we may be able to do the homework and pray and be prepared and do your best so that the word may be phanero, manifest. It should be clear that we are not proclaiming the word or we are not teaching the word to waste anybody's time. I say that because many people do that. Don't do that. It should be clear. We are not going to say something here and there. No, it is the proclamation of the word of God. And in that proclamation of the word of God, it must be made clear. Apostle Paul was a great scholar, a great apostle. But he said when he presents the gospel, it has to be effectively made clear by the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and minds of people. The quality of our presentation. I know some people have their own theories about it. They spiritualize it. But I don't get that impression from the word of God. Make it clear. Make it manifest. Boldly proclaiming. Faithfully proclaiming. Truthfully proclaiming. As we depend upon the Lord with the giftedness and the power which he alone can he give. Not from our knowledge or wisdom or experience. But in the fullness of the Spirit. And Paul wanted it. And how much more we need it. Number 3, Ephesians 6:19, in the passage on spiritual warfare, towards the end of it, Paul makes a personal request. These are guidelines for missional prayer in the Word of God. Verse 19 we read, and for me, that is pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that my ministry should be effective. I should be able to do a good job in proclaiming the gospel and representing my Savior and Lord. Pray for me. I need that. Don't think that I am an apostle. I know it all. I have written epistles. I have great experience. I have traveled around the world. So he will do it. No. You pray. Pray diligently. Focused and intense prayer in these matters. Brothers, I need it. You need it. We all need it. We need it for Sunday morning ministry. We need it for Bible study. Sunday school teachers, you need it. This is not a casual thing. It cannot be just an informal sharing of something. It is the proclamation of the word of God. It is not simply a one-to-one kind of talk. It is not a dialogue. It is the authoritative proclamation of the word of God. And Paul is saying, I need to do that boldly, and I may have the utterance and the speech and the communication and the language and the ability, because I represent my Savior, and the opportunity which he gives me, I should invest it for eternity. And he said, pray for me. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me and I may proclaim it effectively. Apostle Paul had his own fear. That is why he said, I need to proclaim it in the power of the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, we read, Peter and John were arrested, then they were released. And when they came back to the assembly, they all prayed, Lord, give your servants the boldness to preach the gospel. Acts 4:29. Because we are surrounded by enemies. We are surrounded by hostile forces. In the midst of it, how can we share the gospel? We are afraid. We are timid. We do not know how to present it. Lord God, give us the boldness to proclaim the gospel. Some of you are distributing tracts nowadays, praise God, and go to people. We may have our own fear, reservation. And brothers, sisters, pray that the Lord may give us the boldness. And when we pray for those who are involved in such kinds of ministries, this is a very important matter to pray for. The next principle, number 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. That is, when we preach the gospel, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. That is the rapid progress of the gospel. The gospel may have a free course without hindrance and be glorified, doxazon, in the sense of being honored. People may appreciate that word. I know there will be a lot of opposition and problems and resistance, but Lord, we pray that your word may run swiftly, rapid progress, effective progression of the gospel, and it may be honored. And Paul said, just as it is with you. Paul is remembering first when he came to Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. And you read that passage and how even many noble people, high officials, all turned from idols to serve the true and the living God and to wait for his son to come from heaven. So he said, I have seen the swift progress of the gospel and how it was honored when I came to you, Thessalonica, in this pagan Greek city, when I came and preached to you. So continue to pray that our ministry may continue to be blessed like that. So pray for the successful progress, success and progress of the gospel. Number 5, in the same chapter, verse 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Again, look at his humility and his fear and his total dependence upon God and requesting prayers from God's people that we are in the midst of enemies and there are so many people trying to persecute us and kill us. Pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable men, these faithless men. Satanic power hinders the progress of the gospel, possible spiritual warfare. And Paul said, pray for us. And finally, pray for the lost. So you may be wondering why I put that finally. Yeah, because those 5 things are really important. And the 6th thing is also very important, but we normally pray for the lost. And this is a heavy passage, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and it needs a very detailed study and exposition, but I just want to highlight this truth, that is, we should pray for the salvation of everyone, pray for all men, pray for the lost. Therefore, I exhort first of all, that is, this is the priority, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, three different words about the different dimensions of prayer, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Pray for all men, and especially for kings and all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and in all reverence. Then it is an evangelistic passage, because he is talking about the proclamation of the gospel and the salvation of souls. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Pray for the lost, and pray for your government, that they may create a peaceful society where Christians are not persecuted, and where we can lead a dignified life, a holy life, and we can influence the corrupt world, and that will be conducive. The society may be conducive to the progress of the gospel. We need such authorities, such government. Pray for them, for your kings, for your leaders, for your president. During the election year, this is a very important matter for us to pray, that for the salvation of souls, for the propagation of the gospel, you know, we need to have, if there is always calamity and violence and problem, then no ministry can be done. That will affect Christians too. So that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, and there may be a conducive atmosphere there, and we will be able to proclaim the gospel by our life. Verse 2, last part, in all godliness and reverence, we seek the welfare of everyone, welfare of our government, welfare of our society, and that will be very helpful in our evangelistic influence. And when a good solid government is in place, you know, that they may be able to control the forces of immorality and evil, and give us an opportunity to exercise, you know, our religious freedom. And eventually, Paul's desire is that people may be saved. Dear brothers and sisters, prayer and evangelism. Pray for laborers. Pray for opportunity for open doors. Pray for boldness to proclaim the gospel. Pray for the success and progress of the gospel. Pray for safety and deliverance of God's messengers, and pray for the lost. When did you pray for these things last? Include this in your priority list for missional prayer. God's word instructs us, commands us. I have found only 6 direct statements like this. You may find more, and if you find more, let me know. When I did my homework, I could find these 6. There may be more. Directly related to Paul's ministry, the Lord's ministry, the disciples' ministry, and the ministry of the church at large. And may the Lord help us to move forward in our commitment to the Lord and to His mission, and to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Preaching it, believing it, proclaiming it is the noblest of all calling. And may we be committed to that and encourage others to go and serve the Lord when the Lord calls them and sends them. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for the authority and the clarity of your word, and we pray that this morning, as we have looked into the guidelines for missional prayer, that it may be a real blessing to each one of us, for our assembly, for our families, and for each one of us as individuals, that in our prayer for the Great Commission, for the great work of the Lord around the world, that we may embrace these principles and continue to pray in a way that would honor you and please you. Thank you for the opportunities given to many of us to serve the Lord and for many others to stand with us in prayer, in sending and in helping. We pray that thou may help our assembly to contribute more for the glory of our Savior and for the progress of the gospel. We remember the wonderful testimony of Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 verse 12. Brethren, I want you to know that whatever things have happened to me have served for the greater progress of the gospel. Thank you for our blessed Savior, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. He himself is the gospel, and he gave us that good news to preach. We glorify him. Jesus, Lord of all, we worship you, we magnify you, we surrender, we commit our life to you, to your mission, to love you and to serve you. In all things, you may have the supreme priority and preeminence. With these thoughts, thou may send us now, and as we gather again for the study of your word, and as we enjoy fellowship with one another, pray that it may be a meaningful time of Christian fellowship and enjoyment of the love of God. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.